Today's daf is daf kuf vav. We're up to the Mishnah, the Halakha Mishnah, and daf kuf hey, Omid Beis. Hamakabel sadev mechavero, the achlach agav. Somebody now gets into an arrangement, and this is referring to a chakirut arrangement for a certain amount, set amount, not a percentage per year. And what happens is that the yield was eaten by locust, or nishdefa, or it was blown away through a storm, or heated. So imakat medinahi. If this is something that hits everybody, then the halacha is that he's minakelo minchachoro. He takes off what he owes based on the loss, what he owes for the field, because it's not considered to be his problem. It's a general problem that's affecting the entire economy. And then whatever the percentage is of what was expected, he prorates that and gives him that percentage of what it is that the rent was supposed to be. However, if it does not affect everybody, and we're going to get zero in a little bit more on what exactly defines the makat medina versus a personal thing in the Gemara. But if it's not a makat medina, ain minak the balasada in that case can tell him, look, it's obviously something that has to do with your own lousy luck. It's not part of my business, and it's not a general issue, and therefore it's not my problem, it's your problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im kibla imeno bima'ot, benkach ubenkach, eno menakelo minchachoro. In a case where the arrangement was to pay a certain amount of money for the field, and it had nothing to do with produce, then it makes no difference whether the field has produced or not. So then even if it were a makat medina, if it's not a makat medina, it doesn't make any difference. You cannot deduct anything, because certainly the monetary value is unrelated to the problems that affected everybody. The land is land. You're paying for the land. So therefore, it's not considered to be anything but his own bad luck of the land that he owned or rented, as the case may be. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami Makat Medina. Explain to me how we define a general universal problem that allows him to view it as a universal issue that he can deduct the rent from. Om Rav Yehuda, it's talking about Kegon Dishtadov Uruba Debaga. Most of the fields that are in the valley that is planted, that contains this field, most of it was affected in this way, and therefore it's not only him. That's the way it's usually taken. Rashi always learns it that way. However, there is an alternative shot according to which Ruba de Baga, as the grub brings from the Rosh, it's also Ruba de Bagi, a slightly different Lashon, which means most of the fields of the people who live in that village. Ula Amar, Kegon Shinishtatfo Arba Sadot Me'aba Ruchotel. What defines the Makat Medina is that the damage extended on the four sides of the field into the adjoining fields as well, and therefore it wasn't a function of his particular luck. In Eretz Yisrael, they have the question about how to view a case in which Nishdaf Telemechad, suppose only one row of the adjoining fields was affected, not the entire field, but on all four sides, Alpanei Kula, and that one row goes along the entire area of this field. In other words, the boundary between the field and the other fields is also now on the other side of the boundary, also hit by whatever it is that it hit this field. Do we say that in this case, since it's only now a little bit that was affected, it's not considered to be Makat Medina? Or do we say that since it extends in all areas around it, it's also considered to be a Makat Medina? How about Nishtayer Telem Echad Alpanei Kulam Mal? What about if all of the Sadot around were indeed affected? However, the border was unaffected, so that the area right around the field was not attacked. Is that considered to be a Makat Medina? Another question. Afsike Bire. Suppose that the four fields on the side themselves were actually not planted. They were Sedot Bor, so that nobody had taken care of them. They were being left empty this year. So it's impossible for us to view them as the defining issue. However, fields further afield were affected. So would we say that that's a Makat Medina, since indeed we can assume that if those other fields were planted that they would have been affected? Or do we need to see that it extended beyond this field? An additional question, how about if this field, which was planted over here, is completely ruined, and the four fields around it were not actually planted with full grain, they were just growing animal fodder, aspasta. It's called shachas. Now, those fields were not affected. However, other fields further afield that were actually planted with full grain were affected. How about then? Another question. How about if it would be some other type of plant? So let's say that we agree that if it was aspasta, so then it's not considered to be a hefsek, and the aspasta perhaps was not an indication of its being limited to his field, because aspasta is a different type of thing, and it's no riot that it wasn't affected. But that's because aspasta is not really a full kind of growth suited for human consumption. But how about if the adjoining field was zera acher? Suppose it had something else besides the type of tua that was planted in this. Maybe it had the beans or something. My, what would be the din over there? Do we say that since the four surrounding fields were lamaisa unaffected, so therefore it can't be a makat medina? Or do we say, well, if they had been planted with the same things, they would have been affected? How about if it were even a different type of grain? So it was, let's say, chite, bagabi seorim. Is that considered to be a zera acher, if you're going to tell me that a zera acher is not a raya? Is even chitim versus seorim zera acher? Olo. Another question. Ko olam kulo b'shidafon. Let's say that indeed everything was wiped out, but they were wiped out in different ways. So let's say the rest of the valley that we're talking about over here, or the four fields on the side, were wiped out by a flood. But his own was wiped out by Yerakon, which was a disease that turned everything yellow and withered. Inami kolon kolobi Yerakon v'shalobi shidofon, my. So do we say that since the bottom line is the fields were wiped out, that's sufficient, and it's universal? Or do we say, well, the particular gezer of shidofon, of Yerakon, as the case may be, was his own bad luck? All of the above cases take. Amarle asked the rabbin in a case where the owner of the field told the renter, go ahead now, plant this field with chite. So zara chite. For Azalhu, he went ahead, and he was zorea with saorim. And indeed, ruba de baga was ishtato. So most of the fields in the area were universally, it didn't matter what they were growing. Chite, saorim, they were all wiped out. Ishtato of nami anachsari delay, and his own barley was also wiped out. My. Miyamrina, do we say that the owner could tell him, the renter could tell him, the omerla ilo zarata chite yavidani mishtato. Look, a lot of other people planted wheat. Didn't do them any good. Everything was wiped out. So if this field was wiped out for barley, it would have been wiped out anyway for the wheat. Oh, Dilma Matsyamarle, or maybe the owner of the field could tell the renter, Ilu Zerat Achiti, had you listened to me, as I told you, having Mikayim Bi Vatik Zoramar Vayokam Lo, that the Pasuk says that there are people who can say, says Eov, you can say something, and God constantly does exactly what you act. That's what it's like when a person has good luck. So that whatever you request is granted. The Aldrachecha Nagaor, and on your pathways, continues the Pasuk, light will shine. So therefore, had you listened to me, I tell you, God would have definitely granted my request that my wheat should grow. Says the Gemara, well, Mistava de Amalei, Yizrat Techiti, Avimkahim Bivetik Zoramayokam Vadrachecha Nagaor. Enoch Inami, he certainly has a valid tie in that. Why in the world should we assume that he wouldn't have had a good result? Okay, how about Nishtatfu, Kosudotav Shalamachkir? How about if the owner had a lot of fields in different places, and all of them were ruined this year, and this one was also ruined, and we don't see that it's a universal problem? Do we say, since it is not a makat medina, so that therefore the halacha is, you cannot take off the rent? Or do we say, but in this case, he could tell him, look, buddy, obviously this is because of your portion, huh? I mean, it's only your fields that all over, wherever they were ruined. All of the fields that you own everywhere were ruined. And therefore, you have to take responsibility for this loss, being your own bad luck, and it's not my problem. Mistava says the Gemara, well, it's reasonable. And in this case, had it really been my bad luck, then it's not possible that everything that I own would have been ruined. Nobody has that bad of a luck. Because Avimishtayli Purta Kirichtiv, it says, it's talking about the people that were destroyed in the Churban. They tell Yirmiyahu, Kinish Arnu Miat Marbe, there's very little left to us after everything that we've gone through. And therefore, you pray for us. But they note that they say there's little left. There's got to be some little that's left. And therefore, since obviously it can't be my luck that was gone, and it's not universal, so then it must be that this field was ruined. immune because of you? If anything, it isn't because of me. Another question. How about Yishtatfu Kotzot Otav Shalach Ocher? How about if the renter had a lot of fields that he was working on, and every single one of them was ruined? Yishtatav Ruba de Baga, and it was a universal maka in that valley. Yishtatav Tami Abadai, when this field also went. How about this case? So, Mi Amrina Kimin Yishtatav Ruba de Baga. Do we say, look, it's obviously a universal maka in this area because most of the valley was destroyed, and therefore Menachele has a right to deduct it from the rent, proportionally. Or do we say, yeah, but wait a minute, we need to take into consideration the fact that all of the fields that he was working on everywhere were ruined. So then, the owner can tell him, it's clearly your bad luck. Look, everything that you have was ruined. That can't be because of me. Says the Gemara, or because it was universal, says the Gemara, Mistavra de Amale, Mishum Latach, it's your own mazel that was garim. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. A minute ago we said that on the contrary, if a person's entire holdings were wiped out, it can't be his bad luck. Says the Gemara, Amai, Hokanami Neimale, how come the renter can't tell the owner, it's absurd to say it's my bad luck, because I Mishum Latai Didi, then certainly Avi Mishtar Liporta would have been a little bit left. As it says in Yirmiyahu, and Nishar Lamiat Maharbe, right? Why don't we say the same Taina over here? No, that's because Mishum the Amarle, it's because the owner could tell him. That doesn't make any sense. Because Iyavi Chazit, the Ishtari Lachanidi. Look, if there was anything that you should have had a right to have a schus, that something should be left for you, so then it wouldn't have been left in this field. It would have been left in your field, right? Why give it to me? You have fields of your own. It would have been your field that was saved. So therefore, a gezera and the shamayim to leave you with nothing was chal. That affected also me. Yes, the Gemara, we said before that in the definition of the Makat Medina, we have Reb Yudah's Pshat, Ulur Pshat, Kulik Baga, the Sadr Svivav, Meis. We have a problem over here on all of those Pshat. But then is somebody sells now his field during the time where there's Yovel. So the halacha is that since the Torah says b'mispar shnei tevuot, we learn out that he has to have had, he cannot be goel that field back until there's indeed 2 years of tevuot. So then, if there were only 1 year, let's say, and there was also haita shnat shidafon v'yerakon, or it was one of the years of Shemitah that was called during that Yovel, or maybe the years were Hoyo Hashanim Kishnei Eliyahu, like the famous drought in Eliyahu's time where there wasn't a drop of rain. So then that's not included in Shnei Tevuot, because there was no yield, so it doesn't count towards the 2 years. Now, Katani, however, it does say here, Shidafon V'Yerakon, or Shanim Kishnei Eliyahu, which is Mashma, it has to be Dumya, the Shanim Kishnei Eliyahu, which was truly universal. So Mashma Eliyahu Lo Havi Tevuot Klal, over there was nothing. What it means over here is that it's really a universal maka, not just the four sadot around or this particular valley. Aval, the shnat shidafon, where there is tvua, the ikat tvua, that would have counted, salkalai. And we certainly do not say, velo kamin makat medinahi. So you see from here that a makat medinah cannot be defined the way that Rabbi Yehuda and Ula define it. Omrim nachum by Yitzchak, very true. It's irrelevant, however, because shanei atam, it's a completely different issue, since the way that the Torah puts it, the Omar Kro, the din of gula of your karka, from someone to whom you sold it during the Yovel, it says in the Torah, "B'mispar shnei tevuot imcharlach," that it shall be sold according to the number of years of yield. And up until then, you can't be goyel. So that means shanim of tevuot, anywhere. Shanim sheyesh ben tevuah ba'olam. So it's making it a universal. It's not saying local shanim tevuot. It's saying shanim tevuot b'chlal. So if there ain't a kinami, if there would be tevuah, would count, even though it's nothing local. If that's the case, why does it say over here that Shvius doesn't count because it's not called Shnei Tevuot? I mean, you certainly can't say that Shvius is a universal, no Tevuot. I mean, right outside across the border, Well, you don't have to keep Shemitah. You have plenty of Tevuah. Omar Lei, that's completely different, said Rav Kahana. Shvi is Avka'ata de Malkahi. Over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu canceled it, and he doesn't give it to Klal Yisrael as a Shnat Tevuah. So obviously not calling Shemitah Shnat Tevuah, but that's a special case. It's because the Rachamana that wrote the Pasuk is the Rachamana that was gazer what the nature of the Shnat Tevuahs are there. But generally speaking, where it's not Avka'ata de Malkah, it's just nature, the way things are. So over there, how do you define nature universally? That's something that's local. According to this, let's say somebody is magdish his field, and he wants to come to be paid to it, so then shvi'it lo tala lo minagirua. The din is that we count the number of years that have already passed from the time of Hegdash, and we deduct that in a prorated way from the money of the pinyon. So, I mean, that's basically a form of gu'ulat karka, right? Because you find also by Yovel. So it should have the same standards as the shtei tevuot. And according to that, shvi'it shouldn't count. Problem is that we've learned in the Mishnah exactly the opposite. Alam etznan. Why then does it say in the Mishnah that what we do in order to define the nature of the pidyon of esteachuz, that the Torah is, Torah says, a gezeira, that you pay 50 shekel no matter what it is, that the tfua, that the field, the level of the yield of the field, and so on, you pay for it 50 shekel across the entire Yovo, and you prorate that. So why does it say that in the Mishnah, noten sela upundion, l'shana, that you give one sela, that equals one sela and a pundion. So in other words, what we're doing over here is we are including now the 50 shekel is clearly including the shnat hayovel. So the Torah says, im achar hayovel, if he's paid it after yovel, so then v'chishav l'akwein v'nigra miyarkecha. Take off the amount of time that you've already had it, and therefore we split now the amount of time of the 50 years into your 50 shekel. Now that means, except for the Shnat HaYovel itself, of course, that means we're giving you 49 years because that's what we're doing. We're taking one shekel per year plus 1/49th of a shekel a year. So that you pay, that's the punyan. So that you pay basically a shekel of punyan, which is now gives you the 50 shekel over the entire period. But if we were supposed to deduct the 7 shmitas from that, so then it doesn't make any sense. And we're deducting now far less than we should. We're including instead the years of the Shemitah. I thought you said years of the Shemitah are not called Shnei Tevuot. How do you explain that? So lo tala mina geirua, alamatznan, noten tzelo punyon l'shana. Why then do we give a sela and a pundion per year? Slightly more because there's only 48 pundionis, but we pay additional amount to cover the cost of the change. But that's not our issue right now. But clearly it's including 49 years, which means that Shemitah is included because otherwise we should only have 42 years, in which case we should need an additional sela and a dinner, not the pundion. Amar Leisa, Ravina answered, Shani Atam, actually the din of stay Achuzah, to be put from Hekdesh, is unique. And it doesn't follow the dinim of Geula with Girua from actual value. Because the Chazia L'mishtecha B'peri, since Shemitah gives you use of the land, it just doesn't give you agricultural use, it doesn't say anything about Shnei Tevuot when it comes to Hekdesh. It only says that about Geula from a buyer. Here we're talking about Pidyon Steachuzah, and the Torah doesn't say it has to be for Tevuah. And therefore, since it's usable for putting out your grapes to dry into raisins or whatever. So that's considered also be the use of a field during the full 49 years. Getting back now to the halacha of Makat Medina. This that it says in our Mishnah, that if it's in a Makat Medina, you can deduct it from the rent. That's only if Elash Zara Vitzamcha, that he planted it and it actually grew, and then something terrible happened. So Achlach Agav, or with cases we said before, it was washed away. Aval. But if Lo Zara Klal, he didn't even plant it, so then even if the entire valley was wiped off, it wouldn't make any difference. Then Lo, he cannot deduct anything. The Omar Lay, because the owner can tell him, look, had you planted it, maybe maybe a miracle would have happened to me. And have a mikayim bi lo yevoshu be'etra'ah u'bimeira avon yizbo'u. Now I say a person of my darga is, as it says to Hillel, he does not have to be embarrassed at a time of evil. And I say my field would not have been affected. You should definitely have planted it. And since you didn't plant it, you cannot take off any of it. Masir Rav Sheshes Ro'esh Ayaro Eh V'niach Edro Uvala Ir Uba Ze'eve Torah Uba Ari V'daras Ein Omrim Ilu Hayasham Hayamatzio. If you have a shepherd and he was going into town, as we'll see, and he leaves the flock, and then while he's away, an animal comes and takes an animal from the flock. So a lion comes and attacks it or whatever. We don't say that if he was there, he could have saved it. So, in which case, we could have said that it was his pshia and his fault that he would have to pay. Rather, alam dimato, we have to analyze the case. Now the question is, am I? Why can't we say the same thing over here? Name a lake. Why can't the guy tell him exactly what Shmuel says? That I havetata, had you been there, God would have saved me, and have him a kayim be with my great schuyot. The pasuk of gamet ari, gama dovi, kavdecha. So just like a miracle was done, I mean, you say a miracle could happen and my field would have survived. You could say the same thing over here, a miracle would have happened, and you would have chased away the lion? That's because the shepherd could tell him, hey, look, if you're so roy for miracles, my dear friend, if you're already a miracle maker, I mean, why not go all the way? How come you're not like Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? We're over there. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza proved to others about how careful he was by showing that the Izim carried the bears back on their own horns. So if that you're such a tzaddik, that would have been happened to you too. Which means that you're not such a big tzaddik and nothing would have changed even had I been there. Nah, says the Gemara, name alay. That's not a good tarot. I mean, the guy could say then, he delanisa rabbalo avichazina. Look, I mean, nobody could be like Rav Chanina ben Daisa. But I mean, Lanisa Zuta, Chazina, I'm just saying a small miracle. The lion would have seen you holding a gun. Would have gone the other way, whatever. I still say it's your pshia. Says the Gemara Kashi, that indeed is a problem. Now, there's an unbelievable taisus that I never cease to be nispoil over that says that, I mean, why is it that the Gemara ignores the fact that it should be similar to the case before without Nisim? That the idea of Vatik Zorama Vayakam. In other words, if I told you, we had the case before where I told you to do it with chitim, and you did it with sa'orim. And nonetheless, despite everybody being wiped out, I have a right to say you wouldn't have been wiped out. And over here we're saying, you didn't even plant at all, and my only taina is, not that vatik zorama v'yarkam lach, but a miracle could have been done. What do we need a miracle could have been done? Vatik zorama v'yarkam lach. Kosher came when you didn't plant at all. So this is a beautiful thing, that in the case where over there you said, look, I wanted you to plant barley. And I'm telling you, barley, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been followed my desire. That you can say. But over here, you didn't give any instructions what to plant. So what are you going to say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done anything I wanted. That's ridiculous. Remember the whole point. I mean, this is my husband that tells us. The whole point in the pasuk is not just Vatik Zorma Vayakam Lach. It's Al Drachecha Yigaor. How about if you don't have a derech? You don't have a derech. You say, yeah, but God likes me. There's no such thing. That's not reasonable. That's very much like people daven and say, what do I know? I just tell HaKadosh Baruch Who make it good. No. Make it good doesn't do anything. You have to tell me what you think is good. Then if you have a derech, maybe I can make it good. You don't have a derech, what am I supposed to do the work for you? The melo of a year, the only time you have, says Taisus, is that maybe a miracle would have happened. But you certainly can't say what things are over Yaakov. Absolutely astonishing. Very, very different in the way people generally look at what is tzidkas and tefillah. Continues the Gemara. We have two brightot over here, and there seems to be a contradiction between them. Toni Chor, one brighta says, that pam rishona ushniya zor'a. Let's say the renter goes ahead and he plants once, and it's eaten up. He plants again, and it's washed away. And this is all universal problems, and it's still time for the planting. So now, the shlishite nazora, the owner cannot tie it to the guy. He should have gone ahead and tried again. Maybe it would have been better this time. But if he doesn't try again, it's still the time of the planting the second time, then he has no right to take off from the rent, because he should have tried at least one more time. Whereas another Braita says, V'tanya Ida, that Shlishit Zora, he has to plant it three times, and if he doesn't, he can't deduct from the rent, but Revi'it Eina Zora. How do you explain the difference between the Braita? Says the Gemara, it's very simple. Look, Kasha. Remember, there's an overall machloket as to what defines a chazaka, two times or three times. So the first Braita was going on to Rebbe, and Rebbe holds that indeed two times is a chazaka. But the second Braita is going Haka Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Over there, remember the machloket, the original machloket between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, is in terms of an isha katlanit who got married and her husband dies. So what the din is? Two husbands that die and the third one shouldn't marry. Three husbands that die and the fourth one shouldn't marry. So Haka Rebbe Domer betrays him, they have a chazaka. Whereas the other Braita, sorry, if Haka Reb Shimon ben Gamliel betrays him, they have a chazaka. So one Braita is going like Rebbe, who holds two times a chazaka, and one is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds three times a chazaka by the katlanit. Omri Shlokish, lo shanu in these Braitot, the only time that we say that this din of the two and three times is only if Zora v'tzomcha v'yochla chagav, where he was Zorei, and it flowered, and then it was eaten by locusts, or whatever the case may be, it was wiped out by a flood or a storm. So over there, the question is whether you have to be Zorei two times or three times. But if he's Zorei and it didn't even flower, so the Zoria was no good, so then what's Yomalei Balakarka? Look, that's for sure, as long as it's the planting season. If your planting didn't succeed, so plant a plant again. So there we don't say that there's something that's going wrong. V'ad emat, how long do we say is the zman for the Zriya? Omer of Papa, ad da'atu arise midabra, v'kaima kima arishayu. So says Rav Papa, Karking the Shas HaZriya is until such a time as when it is that the people come back now, the Arisim come back from out in the fields, and Kima, which is a part of end of Mazel Tles, says Rashi, is on top of the head of a person. In other words, it's in the middle of the sky when they're coming back from work in the day. So that would mean, let's say, near the 10th hour of the day, and that Kima would be in the middle of the sky, and that's around Adar time. Now, this is how Rashi learns. Tosfos is very, very unhappy with this for a number of reasons. First of all, he says, the Gemara Brachos makes it very clear that Kima is not considered to be the son of Tle. And actually, it's Kima is only near the son of Tle. Furthermore, when Rashi says that we're talking about over here Adar, the end of the 10th hour, Kima is considered to be up in the sky. That's strange, because the 10th hour is not the time that Paulim come back, because Paulim actually, we saw earlier, come back by Tzeis HaKochovim. Not to mention the fact that if it's only 10 hours of the day, there's still plenty of sunlight, and you couldn't even see Kima on top of your head if you tried. And here the Pashtus is, says Tosfos, that the Gemara is trying to give an actual simon, a usable simon, not to tell an astronomer who would know what he would be seeing if the sky wasn't blotted out by sunlight. So this really doesn't make sense. Therefore, Tosfos says, look, I understand it to mean the Arisim coming back at the beginning of the night itself, and Kima is now facing them. So in other words, this is around Shvat, not Adar, and that's the end of the period of this rite. But in any event, after that time, then he can no longer taina that you should have continued to be Zorea. And that is the period in which you could say Ko Yimei Zera Zera, but not certainly not after Yimei HaZera. As the Gemara Meisvi, Reb Shimon Gamliel Mishum Rebbe Meir HaImer, here it says in the Braita, that Reb Shimon Gamliel quote to Rebbe Meir V'chenai Reb Shimon Menasi Omer Kedvarav, actually, Chatzi Tishrei, half of Tishrei, all of Mar Cheshvan, and half of Kislev, that is what is called Zera, which is the beginning of the rainy season. The next season is Chatzi Kislev, all of Teves and Chatzi Shvat. That's called the winter, Chorev. Then you have Chatzi Shvat, all of Adar and Chatzi Nisan. That's called the season of Kor. Half of Nisan, all of Iyar, and half of Sivan, that's called the Kotzer season. Half of Sivan, Tambas, and half of Av, that's called the Kayet season, which is called after the picking of the Teima, which we call summertime. Half of Av, all of Elul, and half of Tishrei, that's called the time of Chom, when things get really hot. Rabbi Yehuda Mona, Rabbi Yehuda counts these six seasons from the beginning of Tishrei, not from the middle of Tishrei, and he counts 2 full months for each one of the six seasons. Rabbi Shimon starts counting from Cheshvan, also 6 seasons. Now, I mean, Man Meko Bekulai, who is the one who would now be the latest possible one to be called still the time of the Zriah, is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is only saying, starting from Cheshvan, Cheshvan and Kislev is included, but certainly not Tevet, Shvat, and some of Adar. Kulei Hailo Kaomar. I mean, there's no way that it could be like Rav Papa, who's giving a simit of Kima. Says the Gemara, Lokasha. Ha, the Kibla Minei Becharf. So we could explain the Tanoim here as talking about a case where he was Makabel now, a field with an understanding that he's going to be Zorea it for winter wheat. And the case now that Rav Papa was saying, he's talking about the Kabbalah Minei Be'afle. He's talking about things which are meant to be planted later, and that's during the, already all the way up to Adar or Shvat, when Rashi tells us the case. Now, it said in the Mishnah that Rav Yudaymerim Kibbalah Mimenu, that if somebody now has been Mekabel a Soda for money, bima'ot, and not for tvua, so then even if it's a makam medina, he's not going to take off any money for the rental. Now there was a hukava the kabel ar lemizra buhu tumi. There was a man who had been mekabel a field with the understanding that it was to be planted with garlic, agudin in har malkasaba, along the banks of the Malkasaba River, and it was agreed that it was bezuzi for a certain amount of money every year, and what happened was he stuck it on Malkasaba. Now it happened to be that the people that were above his field dammed up the river, and because of that, there was no place for him to plant, because it turned out that the river was no longer next to his field, and so was not suitable for planting vegetables because there was no water. So he came to Rava to try to get a deduction on the rent. Omar Leisa, Rava said to him, look, Nahar Malkasaba lo avidi de miska. It is not the derech of Nahar Malkasaba to be dammed up. I've never heard of such a thing to happen at all. And therefore, it's considered to be a universal problem, makat medinahi, and it's therefore, now that it's happened, and it's affecting all of the fields in the area, because of that, zio nachile, you have a right to deduct the value. The question is what it has to do with whether it was the derech or not to be the derech. It was the mashmut is here that if it would have been the derech, the dry up, then even though it was a universal makat, we wouldn't have been the nachile. But that's because something that is a norm should be specified. What will happen in the event that? And since you didn't specify, apparently you've accepted the risk on yourself. But since this is not a norm, you wouldn't have specified. Homele Rabbanan, the Ravis, the Rabbanan, the basic matters were shocked by Ravis Psak. And they said to him, Ha nantzanan Rabbi Yehuda Omerim Kiblei Meno Bima'ot Benkachu Benkachu Yemenakalo Menechachuro. I thought that if it was a deal in Zuzi, such as the case over here, then you don't get to take anything off. So Rava said to them, Omar Lei Les Techoshvel Rabbi Yehuda. This sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is not La'alocha, and there's no posik that I know that takes Rabbi Yehuda seriously enough to be Cheshesh even as a Sof. Zakar Elik Mishnah Hamekabel Sadeh Michaveiro. Somebody rents a field. Here we're talking about, not percentages again, but chachirut, as we said earlier, some of the Mishnayos are referenced to arisut, some are chachirut. This Mishnah is talking about chachirut. In the case over here, somebody is mekabel michavero for a set amount, which is asarakur chitim l'shana. And now, the chitim were very, very poor, v'lakta. So the produce this year has been very, very poor quality. The din is, he could still pay him poor quality chitim. Noten lo mitocha. So even though the guy could say, well, wait a minute, I mean, I want normal chitim, not junky chitim. Since these are the chitim that have been produced by the field, these are the chitim that he's allowed to pay. So, if, however, ayu chita yafot, if the chitim from this field were good quality, he can't say that I'm going to buy just normal chitim. I don't want to give you these beautiful chitim. No, he has to also give him the best from the field. So, lo yomar lo areni lo keach menashuk, I'll buy chitim and pay you. And the ten lo mitocha, he gives the chitim of the chila from the field itself. Says the Gemara, who gave the kabel aralas pasta. It was a man who took the karka with the understanding that it would be planted with animal fodder, and he committed himself to pay with tvua, but the tvua would be saorim. The kurei de saorim. He was going to give him a kur of saorim for his rent. And what happened was, avas pasta, he went ahead now, and he planted aspasta, and it was fine. And then, v'charashav, zarasari. after collecting, his asbestos collected after 30 days, it's harvested, and that's all that it grows. So he figured, I could still have time to plant a full crop. He went in and planted tzorim, figuring he'll use the tzorim for his rental payment. And then the tzorim came out poor quality. So Sholchor of Chaviva Misura de Parat, of Chaviva from the city of Surah al Nahar Prat, sent the Sha'iv of the Kamed Ravina, and he asked him, Kaigav Nomar, how would you understand this case? Is it similar to the case here that we just had, that if, as the Mishnah says, Kilakta noten lo mitocha, that if the tvua was poor quality, then he can give him that tvua, tami, similar to that case? Or since he never said that he was going to pay him from what the field produced. The field was supposed to produce his pasta. Never talked about sarms, maybe it's not included. Omele Ravashi, how can you even compare it to the Mishnah? Midami? Hotam lo avda arish lichut demora. Over there, the owner did not do the shlichut of its owner. So the field did not perform. The sarim weren't grown the way they were supposed to. And therefore, they have to take the loss. But hoch avda arish lichut demora. Over here, the owner said it should grow asbasta, and it did. It was beautiful. And he went ahead now and changed it to grow now something to pay it up. That's his problem. And therefore, he'll have to buy the sarim, not give him the lousy quality sarim from this particular field. Ahukav, another story has of a man who was makabala a pardes. He was makabala vineyard michavri besed anecham, right? And he was going to give him 10 barrels of wine from his production, but he just had 10 barrels of wine. Atakif ahukav, the wine went bad and turned into vinegar. So Rivkana lemeimer, Rivkana said, well, I mean, this is mamish to mishnah, right? That if the produce is lakta, then you can use the low quality produce. To noten lo mitocha, Amr Ravashi, it is absolutely not similar. Me dummy, what, how can you learn this out from the Mishnah? Hatam lo avda ar shlichuta. Over there, the land did not do the shlichut. The shlichut was to grow the sarim or the chitim, and it grew lekuyot. So then it didn't perform. Over here, it performed admirably. Grapes were beautiful. Now it's the processing that was terrible. So something went wrong afterwards. Hakav, the Irish shlichut said, so how are you going to pay the land back, so to speak, for its beautiful grapes by giving poor quality processed wine? So that is considered to be the bad luck of the renter. But it certainly does not reflect on the grapes of the owner of the field. Umoda Ravashi. Now, Ravashi is moda that in a case of inve de chadun, where you have the grapes themselves turning bad, let's say, between the time of the picking of the grapes and the time of the making of the wine, and yet wasn't yet time to take it in out of the field. So then it is part of the din, and it turned wormy. So over there, it is part of the din of the field, and it has to be able to protect its tefuah too, till such time as it's completed. Or a field that's a shalakta ba'omreah. Now you have the omarim still spread in the field to dry out, and over there something happens to it. That is considered to be a problem in the field, and therefore the owner of the field is going to get a certain percentage of the rent knocked off because of it.